Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
Hello, welcome to Startup to Success. My guest today is Alexis Commodore, who's the founder of BirthX, full spectrum doula and nurse who advocates for transparency, accountability, and improved educational tools and resources for perinatal care. Oh my God, Alexis, I wish I had met you last year this time when I was pregnant.
Oh yeah, I didn't know you had a little baby.
I have a 7-month-old and wow. I was going through your website, BirthX, and I was just like, wow, this is incredible. I wish I had come across this, wow, sooner, you know? And so I am so thrilled to have you on the show today. But before we jump into everything, let's start with what inspired you to start BirthX.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the very beginning, I was still working as a nurse and I was seeing a lot of issues in the healthcare industry, and I was struggling to still kind of maintain my integrity and ethics while working. And then suddenly my dad passed away, and it kind of like led me to really shift gears for a second. When I went to go give him a memorial service, I was really blown away by the number of people that showed up that I didn't even know existed in his life. And then, you know, so many of them spoke so highly of the advocacy work that he did in the city of Boston for fair housing. And this really inspired me, right? Like I, you know, my thought was, what is my legacy going to be when I leave this earth, right? And he, you know, he left me, a little bit of an inheritance, and I wanted to use that, to really develop something that improved patient care in maternity care, like patient advocacy, the information that you receive, the accountability of the providers. Like there's so much work to be done in maternity care. So, I mean, yeah, sometimes I get a little overwhelmed. I'm trying to tackle too many things, but.
Wow, that is just so inspiring. You know, I had a moment like that when my dad passed away about 4 years ago. I can relate to that. I can really relate to that. There's something about, you know, having a loved one just gone and you just realize how short life is. And then you start thinking about, why am I here? How can I give more? What can I leave this earth with? And that is so inspiring how you took what your dad passed on to you, not just, you know, the inheritance, but also his inspiration, right? His actions. And you turned it into something so extraordinary. God, BirthX, I want to dive into BirthX. I'm just so impressed with everything about it. But walk our listeners through, you know, what problems is it solving right now and what problems do you hope to solve in the future?
Yeah, so BirthX is really a platform for accountability and transparency in maternity care. And how we're doing that is with two different products. Both are still currently in development, but we've had three different phases of the review platform, which I'll talk about in a second. So it started off with just a review platform where people could read and write reviews on their maternal healthcare provider. And it just constantly got improved. Like we would launch one and then I would basically say, no, it's not good enough, that it needed more details. We need to be collecting more data. And a lot of it comes down to like, this is also a wonderful tool to just collect data on what's happening. You know, I don't think obstetric violence is talked about enough, but it's happening all over the world. In fact, a lot of my research, the solution I created was out of research that I had read, particularly from like the World Health Organization, who recommended accountability for providers to stop obstetric violence. So, and so how the platform works is that, you know, you can write an anonymous review on your birth experience with a particular maternal healthcare provider. And then we're also tracking the medical interventions you received, as well as patient demographics. The providers can see the reviews on their own side of the platform, and they can respond anonymously to you so that, you know, if there was a misunderstanding or if, you know, maybe they were not giving the type of care they were hoping to give, that, you know, things can be addressed in a anonymous way, like not in front of an audience.
Yes, I love that.
And then the second project is a chatbot. And so really, while I was working as a doula, I had a client who said, like, I wish I could, you know, text you at any hour and like get a response. Like, I wish you were a chatbot, basically. And I was like, is that possible? And I started to see like these virtual doulas and stuff, but I really just wanted a place like where people could go to answer questions. And the other thing that I was really hearing was that people were really overwhelmed by all of the childbirth education. I don't know if you felt this way in your pregnancy, but like you're learning so much towards the end of pregnancy, right? It's a lot of information. Like I think back to like when I really started becoming interested in birth work and, you know, being a doula and maternity care and all of that, like it took me a solid 5 years to feel confident in all of the information, right? Like, and I can't imagine like, you know, in 9 months trying to absorb all of that, right?
It changes so quickly. So, you know, it takes, you know, years to.
It's a lot. And people really underestimate it. And you just don't know what you don't know, right? Sometimes you don't even know where to start. And so really, like I created the chatbot so that you could sign up and kind of choose how often you want to receive a text message. And that text message would be like a little snippet of education, kind of going along where you are in your pregnancy, but also just to help prepare for what's coming. And then on top of that, the AI portion is that you can ask it questions and it will respond to you. And so, yeah, I just wanted it to be a source of information, right? Like there's just not enough resources. There's just not enough time in the day. And I was like, how can I make this more digestible? And I was like, okay, how can we break it down over a longer period of time? So you can use it from the second you find out you're pregnant, like 4 weeks pregnant all the way through 12 weeks postpartum.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. So I really would love to dive into the technology piece of BirthX, like what it took for you to launch it, because, you know, your background is doula, nurse, and it took, clearly by looking at your website, it took a lot of engineering and a lot of technical skills to build this amazing platform that people can benefit from. So walk us a little bit through the journey of what it took to build BirthX.
Yeah, it's been a tough, like the long delayed journey for us. And I think it was partially like I was a non-tech founder when I started and I'm not anymore. I'm technical now, or I would consider myself technical now. And so I made a lot of mistakes in the beginning. And I think also like I was burnt out just from being a nurse. I was tired and like didn't have the cognitive ability to do a lot of this stuff that I now can. And so I was outsourcing a lot of that or hiring people to do a lot of that work. And actually like what really transitioned for me. And so you're probably going to see us go through a phase like pretty soon because we're doing a lot of background work right now. But you know, like a year ago, I was working with a developer and he just did not do his best work on a lot of the stuff we were working on together, the review platform in particular. And I was really disappointed. It was a large waste of money. And this really just like, it threw me. Like I was trying to like be patient and like this this happens, right? Like, again, like I was a non-technical founder. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to articulate what I wanted well, like so much has changed. But this actually led me to learn how to code. Because I just had this feeling in my head. I was like, I think that it's easier than like they're making it seem. And it was. I mean, you know, there's still moments where I'm like, I'm going to rip out all of my hair.
This is beyond my capabilities. Yeah.
I can't figure out this bug. But I was really surprised by how approachable it was. And I really say this to everyone. It's like, if you know you have a little bit of curiosity about learning how to code, it is such a useful tool. And you know, you really can teach yourself. I eventually, you know, I am still in a boot camp that I'm trying to run through a lot of different types of stacks. But yeah, I mean, I've learned so much and I keep learning and it's exciting to learn. It's exciting to be able to build your own stuff. Again, it's not perfect, but yeah, I mean, and again, like I would never have been able to create the chatbot if I hadn't been out here curious, already like, you know, creating a Discord bot and like just curiously working on little projects to improve my skills, right? And really that's how it came to be. So yeah.
I love it. And, you know, I think a lot of people think, you know, entrepreneurship is so, you know, it's so predictable and it's so unpredictable. You just don't know. You don't know where it's going to take you and what you're going to end up doing and who you're going to come across. And it's just, that's what I love about it. I feel like it's that one career. Like if somebody asks me, hey, what can I do that's the most fun in this life? I would say be an entrepreneur. Because to me, it's like the most challenging, but the most fun thing you can ever do in your life. Because it's just, you never stop learning.
Absolutely. You have to, right? And I think like, oh, I mean, I think that's my favorite part. Like I love learning new skills. And so I used to primarily work in the ER as a nurse. And so like, that was always exciting because there's a little bit of chaos involved, but so there is in startup life too, right? Like, it's just a different type of chaos.
Yeah, I agree. Oh my God. You're so inspiring. I know your dad must be so proud. Like he's just like, wow. Oh my God. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about NFT collection. I see this on birthx.com and I'm so impressed by this. Well, explain to us what it is for the listeners who aren't really familiar with NFT.
Sure. I think that will be part of our revamp too, because I feel like the way that I went about it is towards the NFT community that already exists. And I think that the project should be used for people who are already in like the birth space to get into NFTs. And so I think I have not necessarily change the art or anything, but change the way that people can get involved with the collection. But basically I created the collection in order to help us lobby for changing the legislation around the licensing of midwives. We have a longstanding history of over-regulating midwives, and we have a massive shortage of maternal health care providers in general, right? So a third of our country doesn't have access to maternity care. They live in a maternity desert, which means that they live 2 hours or more away from any kind of perinatal care. And this is serious. Like you should be able to have access. You shouldn't have to get a hotel like towards the end of your pregnancy so that you can give birth in a place that you feel safe. Or, you know, if you are in a state where home birth is illegal or home birth midwives are illegal, like that shouldn't be a thing. You should be able to have access to whatever type of experience that you want to have, right? And so a lot of this just comes down, like there's a long, like kind of political history between obstetrics and midwifery. And I think like, I don't have a problem with obstetricians because there are some wonderful ones out there. I do have a problem with the politics around it. And sometimes there are authoritarian providers and I don't love that because it should always be about the patient. But yeah, this longstanding history where, you know, in the early 1900s, we really weaned out midwives who were primarily Black, Indigenous, immigrants, women of color who were, you know, catching the babies of the next generation, and men who were at the time physicians and obstetricians wanted their, you know, foot in that door of a way to make money. And so, you know, they kind of started this smear campaign towards midwives where they were seen as dirty and uneducated. And then we had to like cycle through licensing. And now we just don't have enough. On both sides, we don't have enough obstetricians and we don't have enough midwives. It's a lot less costly and a lot more accessible to have more midwives. A lot of really successful countries across the world who have who have really wonderful birth outcomes tend to navigate towards having primarily midwifery care as the first line of perinatal care and then escalating to an obstetrician in the case that something is high risk. And I think that's the way that it should be done. It makes the most sense, right? Why overuse or overprescribe or over intervene, especially if it's not wanted. If it is, of course, go ahead. But you know, again, it should be coming down to whatever that patient wants or whatever that birthing person wants.
I had no idea. I mean, if you think about the situation, like, how do you still run your, this, like, still continue with this law that's so old? Like, how do you not revamp it? Why do you not look at the situation now and the needs of the people and look at the data that supports that you should change the policy? Like, it's amazing to me. I look back at some of the laws. Like, I own a CBD brand, and when I looked at, you know, why it was banned and removed, and it used to be sold in pharmacies. CBD used to be used a million, like, years ago, hundreds of years ago, by people to cure so many things. And then somebody just decided that, you know, they want to make paper, and they don't want hemp, you know, because they were making paper out of hemp, which was more, cheaper. And they just decided to ban hemp. And then that also banned marijuana and banned all of these things. And it's just like, it's so sad when you look at it. It's like one person wanted to monetize, and they just decided to change the policy, and it affects so many and so on. Tell me one thing that you figured out that, you know, that was kind of challenging and took your business to the next level, besides becoming learning how to code.
I mean, that was a big one, but I feel like this one I'm still like learning a little bit. It was very easy for me to go from, you know, working 12-hour shifts to working from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep, like when I became an entrepreneur. Like, learning the work-life balance is still I'm still struggling with a little bit, but it's so important that you take time for yourself. Like, you just can't give from an empty cup, right? Like, I think, and we say that all the time, but it's like, gosh, it takes so long to like embody that, or at least it has for me. I don't know if that's been your experience. It's, you know, I'm a better human when I get to take a break and do something that fills my cup, like whether it be going social dancing or taking a yoga class or making myself a really nutritious meal. Like, all of those small acts of self-love are so important. And I really forgot that this year. And I think I'm trying to like re-implement them, and I'm hoping to see like a lot of good change, even though it like technically I work less hours now, which I don't love, right? I don't check as many boxes off my task list, but it's important. So it's how the job stays sustainable.
And you know, from my long journey of entrepreneurship, and I feel like there is the whole balance, the word of life and work balance doesn't exist anymore. It's like intertwined. My work is intertwined with my family. It's part of me, and I'm so blessed to be doing what I love to do. So it doesn't necessarily feel like work.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. And so when I'm spending about, you know, 12 hours a day working on something, I don't give myself a hard time saying, you know, why did I do this? You know, I didn't give enough time to the kids, because I might make it up on a Saturday or Sunday and just not work at all. But I've learned that I've struggled a lot trying to create that balance. And then at one point I was like, yeah, maybe I should just stop. And the minute I stopped and I just went with the flow, meaning if I feel like taking a walk and taking a break right now, I'll just literally shut my computer and go for a walk. If I feel like meditating, I do it. If I feel like going and having ice cream with my kids, I do it. So just go with the flow. Don't, because we have to make decisions so much, and it's so stressful to constantly organize and plan and checklists and all of that. And then when we have to think about that part too, it's almost like an extra job in itself. So just go with the flow. Do what your body needs, what you need, what your brain needs, but give yourself those breaks. I highly recommend that. So self-care is huge. The more, you know, it's almost like fuel, right? You need to fuel yourself. You need to fuel your brain, your body, to be able to keep going and running. And as a leader, if you're not at your best and you're not rejuvenated, you can't be inspiring to others and the team. And it's just, you know, it can be discouraging. So we have so many hats to wear. It's ridiculous, but, God, I wish we had more time, but remind us where we can get a hold of you, how we can connect with you, how we can support you. What can we do to support you?
For sure. I feel like right now, you know, if you happen to be pregnant or in your early stages of postpartum, I am looking for people to both test and trial BirthBot. And so signing up for the waitlist is a great way for people to support me and you know, help me figure out where the holes are, what questions I haven't answered, et cetera. And of course, you know, like you can always find out more about us on our website, www.birthx.com. And for now, the NFT collection you can still buy a piece on the minting dApp if you'd like. But because again, like I really feel like it should be paired with an introduction to NFTs and like how to get a wallet and all of those things, I am kind of holding off on promoting that because I think that the birth work community deserves to know what's going on.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Alexis. It's been a pleasure. Good luck to you and good luck. Yeah.
It's been lovely talking to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.